We begin with Syria, where state media say two roadside bombs have exploded near an army bus in the worst attack in the capital in years. At least 14 people have been killed and several others are injured. Authorities are calling it a terrorist attack. No groups claimed responsibility so far. Let's bring in Zeina Hodo, who's in neighboring Lebanon, live from Beirut. Zeina, no claim of responsibility yet, but the Syrian regime is likely to blame the opposition. What more do we know about what's happening right now?
Well, the authorities are calling this a terrorist attack. There has been no claim of responsibility. This explosion in the heart of the Syrian capital, clearly a security breach. A bus carrying soldiers was targeted, so it was the military that was targeted. What we understand from state media is that there were two explosive devices that went off as the bus was passing. And according to them, there was a third explosive device that did not go off and that they dismantled it. Now, the regime definitely has many enemies. When they use the word terrorists, they mean the opposition. Now, of course, the armed opposition is among the regime's enemies, but they are largely confined to the north of the country. Also, there's ISIL, which continues to operate in the center of Syria and engage in ongoing clashes with the regime time and time again. And, of course, there's also divisions within the security apparatus, within the army, within the regime itself. So we cannot rule out any of that. We can only speculate, but clearly, the regime believes it is the opposition. Just a few minutes after that explosion was reported, heavy, heavy artillery shelling targeted a town in Ariha. That's in the southern Idlib countryside. The province is under the control of the opposition. We believe at least 10 people were killed, many of them children on their way to school. So this is being seen as some form of retaliation on the part of the regime, even though that this area comes under regular fire, despite the ceasefire that has been in place since last year. So the guns may have fallen silent in Syria. The country remains divided along front lines, but still, there is no peace.
Zeina Hodor in Beirut, thank you very much. Let's discuss this further now with Joseph Daher, who's an affiliate professor with the Wartime and Post-Conflict in Syria project at the European University Institute. He's joining us via Skype from Geneva. Very good to have you with us, Joseph. So blasts in Damascus, as we've said, are rare. They've been rare in this 10-year conflict. What does an attack like this in the heart of the Syrian capital signal, in your opinion?
Well, even though we still lack information on the whole picture of the explosion, this shows, again, once more, that we are very far from any kind of stability within Syria, and that the regime is threatened by multiple actors. This type of terrorist action is a trademark of the so-called Islamic State, which, I remind, although the end of the self-declared caliphate in Syria in early 2019 by the joint forces of the U.S., and SDF did not mean the end of the jihadist organization, which still posed a threat and a security challenge, especially after the change of strategy of the Islamic State, which largely focused on the suicide attacks in civilian areas, military establishment targets, in order to destabilize, just as we've seen this morning, cities controlled by the regime. Actually, the international coalition estimates the numbers of IS, Islamic State fighters, between 8,000 to 16,000 in Iraq and in Syria. So even though, as I said in introduction, we're still very far from having a clear picture, this shows once again that we're very far from any form of stability in Syria, whether politically, militarily, or economically. We're still in a conflict situation.
ISIL clearly a threat, as you say, to the regime. They have targeted army vehicles in the past in the east. But today, in retaliation, as Zeina said there, we have the government forces bombing Idlib, areas that are supposed to be covered by the ceasefire, which is agreed with Turkey and Russia. What does it say about the government's commitment to the ceasefire? I mean, are they serious about negotiating a peace?
No, we have to be clear about this. This is not the first time the government, the same government, the same regime, has not respected a ceasefire. Quite on the opposite, the rule is not respecting any kind of ceasefire, and the Syrian regime has made very clear that it wants to take back all territories in Syria. And Idlib and this region has been, the Idlib region has been bombarded on a continuous perspective for months. There haven't been any kind of true ceasefire again. So I'm not surprised and of this surprise, and this is more in a continuation of any of all kind of disrespect of the regime against ceasefires and targeting again, once again, civilians in Idlib.
Earlier this week, the opposition groups and the Syrian government agreed in Geneva to start drafting the new constitutional provisions. Where does this all leave those negotiations?
Well, the negotiation occurring in Geneva and the Constitutional Committee has been a way for the UN and various international powers to show that there is a so-called negotiation ongoing. But the Syrian regime has made clear on many times that what happens in Geneva stays in Geneva and doesn't take into account what is occurring basically in Geneva, especially regarding the Constitutional Committee. Bashar Assad made clear statement about this, especially in a period where the balance of forces is very much in favor of the Syrian regime and opposition is very weak, militarily, politically. And you have a process as well of forms of normalization, especially between Arab states, what we witnessed in the past few months regarding the Arab pipeline. Lebanese ministry delegation sent by the government for the first time since the beginning of the conflict and uprising, Egyptian ministries meeting in the UN with Syrian ministries. So Syrian regime clearly have the balance in his favor.
Thank you very much for talking to us about this. Joseph Daher joining us there from Geneva. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, Syrian refugees who have returned home have faced severe human rights abuses and persecution from the government. That's according to a report by Human Rights Watch. It spoke with Syrians who returned from Lebanon and Jordan between 2017 and 2021. The organization documented cases of arrest, torture, kidnappings, extrajudicial killings, and enforced disappearances. It says returnees have struggled to meet their basic needs.